news time.
Guys, it's great to see you. My name's Josh. I am the youth pastor here, so we get to spend a lot of time together as we open the Bible and see what God has to say for us. We're sticking in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. That's so close. Chapter 20, so make sure you have that open in front of you. And we're going to see this. We're going to see that who we are shapes who we live. Who we are shapes who we live. On a Monday night, I play mixed netball at Macquarie Uni, and it's great. Who's played netball before? Yeah. Excellent. When I was growing up, it sounded like netball was just a girl's sport, but now it's mixed. I play in a mixed comp, and it's actually so much fun. So I recommend if you ever get the chance to play it. What happens is you get a big position number on your jersey, on your singlet or whatever, and that controls how you're meant to act on the field. So when I get a goal attack, I can go in 2/3 of the court and I can go in the little center circle and shoot. But I can't shoot because I'm not very good. So I never go as a goal attack, I go as a goal defense. And so my job is to stop everyone else from getting the ball. Who I am on that court is to stop everyone else from getting the ball and to stop their ball from going into the goal. A fun fact is on Monday, I got a caution, which is apparently really bad. What's a caution, Billy? Who knows what's going on?
It's when you don't really respect the people or the umpire, so they walk on you and you get more cautions than you get.
I don't know what happened there. I googled it right afterwards and it was it didn't say disrespect, but it said their behaviour needed to change. Because I think I wasn't actually acting out who I was. I wasn't living out who I was on that netball court. Now, for God's people, in the passage today, we're going to see that they get kind of a picture of what it looks like to live as one of God's saved people. They get a picture of what it looks like to live as someone that God has picked up and taken out of slavery in Egypt and brought to know and to love and to follow him. Who you are shapes what you do. Now, for those, we're going to think about who Israel is and who God's people is. For those just joining us, we're in the book of Exodus. It's the second book in the Bible. And we've kind of got a story so far on some of the pictures that you'll see in the walls over here. God kind of rescued Moses through a basket, through the river. God appeared to Moses. He sent down heaps of plagues. We saw a lamb get sacrificed instead of the people, and God saved his people from Egypt. God parted the Red Sea and delivered safely his people through them. God provided for his people, even though they were complaining and grumbling in the desert. And that brings us to now over on this side of the room, where God gives these commands to show how these people are to live. And we see that God shapes his nation. God shows Israel what it looks like to follow him. And we see that in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. We see who God's people are, who the nation of Israel is. So chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Here are all the words God spoke. He said, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt. That is the land where you were slaves. God says, I have shaped you. I have delivered you. I have picked you up out of slavery and made you for myself. Now picture yourself as one of these slaves, one of these people that were no longer slaves. Imagine that every single year of your life, you've only ever known slavery. And your parents, and their parents, and their parents only ever knew nothing but harsh treatment and injustice and what was wrong. And that you were mistreated because of who you are, because you weren't kind of the top dogs in the society. What God has done is God has saved these people. He's brought them out of slavery and done these spectacular things so that he can show his people he is their God and he is in control and he is good and he loves them. And so he gives these commands that we're about to read, that we had read out for us earlier. He gives these commands not as a checklist for getting out of Egypt, because that's already happened, right? God gives these commands as a picture of what it looks like to follow him. It's kind of like an actor learning a new role. They're reading the script and they're working out, who am I in this scene and how am I going to live? That is exactly what is happening for God's people here. They're trying to work out who they are and then therefore what it would look like for them to follow. These aren't just rules to be saved, but it's a picture of the lived out relationship with the God who knows them and the God who loves them. And here are these commands. This is just 10 of quite, like I think 613 commands in the Old Testament, that is the parts of the Bible before Jesus. And this is a picture of how God saved people live. No other gods before me. Don't make for yourself an image or an idol. Like, don't build for yourself something and then worship it, because that is a stupid thing to do. Number three, don't take the Lord's name in vain. That means don't misuse God's name. And maybe as a Christian, as we are someone who lives with God's name kind of stamped on us, make sure our behavior reflects who we are. Number four, keep the Sabbath holy. That is, make sure that we rest and have time that is set aside for God. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Honor your parents. Who finds that one hard? Yeah, me too. Number six, you shall not murder. And that's not just talking about like actually physically killing someone. It's also talking about killing someone in your heart, being angry at them. I'll come to some questions at the end. Yeah. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. This is kind of not, therefore, adultery is not respecting what God has to say about marriage and kind of not taking seriously what God says about the promises that someone makes in marriage. And you might be able to find more about that a little bit later. If not, ask your parents. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false testimony. Testimony is like what you say about someone. And so it's actually don't say anything untrue about someone else. Because if God is a God of truth, He wants His people to be people of truth as well. And number 10, you shall not be jealous or you shall not be envious. Don't see what someone else has and then want it and want to have it for yourselves. Now, we might look at a list like this and go, oh my goodness, I've broken like at least seven of them already today. There's no way that I can actually live as God's saved people. And that's part of the point. Part of the point of these rules, of these laws, is to show us that we need a savior. To show us that we need someone who actually is perfect to deal with this problem that we have. That we can't actually live the way that we are meant to. And that's not even talking about what Jesus has to say about the commands. That it's not just like, don't murder, but it's don't be angry. It's not just don't commit adultery, but don't look at someone in an improper way. Jesus wants not just you to follow the rules blindly. Jesus wants your heart because He loves you, because He saved you in the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can look at this list and go, yep, I have done it. I am perfect. I have done it. Jesus has done it. Jesus was perfect and Jesus went to die on behalf of the people that weren't. Jesus saved His people even though they couldn't live up to God's standards. Because He loves you. Because He cares for you. Because He wants what is best for you, and that is to actually follow and to obey Him. In the book of Mark, chapter 12, some people were talking about and arguing about what was happening in terms of what was the best command. Like, there's 600 commands. What's the best one? Jesus, if I have to follow one command, what is the one? I don't think it's on the slide, so I'll just read it out for us. It's in Mark chapter 12, and Jesus says this. You might remember it from summer camp last year if you were in year 8 or 7. Jesus says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Love Him with all your mind and with all your strength. That is, the greatest command is to love God with everything. And then, love your neighbor as yourself. It's the second most important command. Love God, love others. And why? Because we have been loved by God. People that are loved by God love Him and love others because we have been loved. And this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. We're to love Him above everything else. We're to love people like He has loved us, with a love that goes past whether we feel like it or not. With a love that goes above and beyond kind of just ticking the box, but actually caring about loving God and caring about loving others. I want to give a picture of what this looks like, and we're going to meet a fictional person named Rochelle. Rochelle's a young woman in high school, and she loves Jesus and wants to follow him and wants to work out what it might look like for her to follow him. As Rochelle gets ready for school, one Friday morning, she spends some time reading the Bible. She uses her Exodus card, and she realizes how much God loves her. And so she spends some time praying. She asks God to help her keep him as number one in her heart that day, that she wouldn't let anything else get in the way. She wants to love the Lord her God with all her heart, have no other gods before him. On the train into school, she remembers it's bin night. Oh, she doesn't want to take the bins out, but actually, as she lives under her parents' roof and as she wants to honor her father and her mother, she's going to be the best at taking the bins out. She's going to get a gold star at taking the bins out. She's going to do so without grumbling, but loving. Honor your father and your mother. At school, her teacher was being just a little bit unreasonable and then kept going. Her teacher was being so unreasonable and she just wanted to get so angry and wanted to like hit her teacher. Firstly, don't do that. But she took a quiet moment to think about how much God has loved her and how when God could have gotten angry at her in Jesus, he chose not to. He chose to be patient and to take the costly route of forgiveness. Do not murder. Rochelle loves Jesus. Rochelle knows who she is as someone who Jesus has saved and Jesus has loved. And so is that love going to change her? It has, and it keeps going so. Is the love that Jesus has for you going to change you? Is that going to change your life? What you think about, what you love, what you do? I pray that it does. And I'm actually going to do that now. So if you would be glad to pray with me, please do so. Father, thank you for Jesus, our King. Thank you that he is the only one who has fulfilled the law. Thank you, he's the only one that has loved you perfectly and loved his neighbor perfectly. Thank you that he has saved us and that we are your people. Help us live like it, Lord. Help us love you with everything. Help us love others with everything. In Jesus' name, amen.